In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is a parallel to the Luke passage from the 10th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 17th verse, where Jesus says, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is the text. God rarely, if ever, does for us what we are able to do for ourselves. I've never found a Bible passage to say exactly that, but I think it'd be a very good Bible passage. In any case, I think there's a truth in this statement that applies in a very important and direct way to the text that's before us. Just think about it. God rarely, if ever, does for us what we can do for ourselves. Why should He do for us what we can do for ourselves? He wants us to grow up. He wants us to accept responsibility. He wants us to act like adults. Furthermore, He has equipped us to do a lot of things for ourselves. He has given us minds. He has given us faith. He has given us energies, and He expects us to use them. Now, of course, there are some very, very important things that we can't do for ourselves. We can't pay for our own sins. We can't come to faith on our own. We can't bring anybody else to faith. And for these things, we should depend totally on the Lord Himself. However, in matters that we are equipped to deal with, matters that He has equipped us to deal with, these we should do for ourselves. Of course, the challenge is to know when to depend totally on Him and when to just go ahead and do it yourself. In our text, Jesus makes these remarkable statements. He says, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. Don't worry about it. It'll be given to you. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. Marvelous promise, important promise. I suspect that we all know preachers who have relied on this promise in an inappropriate way. And I suspect that the preachers here among us have all at one time or another done exactly that same thing ourselves. There's plenty of inclination in that direction. And the rationale goes something like this. Now, this sermon that I'm supposed to deliver, this is God's Word. And the Spirit of God wants to work through that Word. Now, I surely don't want to get in His way. I don't want to put up too many obstacles in the way of the Spirit by doing too much studying or thought on my own. So I'll just sort of leave myself open and let Him provide the thoughts and the words and have Him do it. We're all too glad to let the Spirit do it. It sounds very pious and it sounds very spiritual, but really that's just a thin disguise for laziness or irresponsibility or even pastoral unfaithfulness. Of course we're to depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance, for the thoughts and words. We're to pray for that kind of guidance and that kind of help from the Spirit. But for the answer to that prayer, we should not expect direct revelation, but we should expect the answer to come through the study and the reflection and the writing that we engage in. It's sort of like the farmer, the Christian farmer who prays for a good harvest. Then he goes out on his tractor and he prepares the soil and he plants the seed and he cultivates it and does everything in his power to make it grow. When the harvest comes, though, it's still God's gift and it's still God's work. But the point is, God did the work and gave the gift in part through what the farmer was able to do for himself. But of course, there are other situations like those referred to in our text in which there is no way to prepare for the witness opportunity. Peter and John, and later on Paul, were dragged before the authorities and called upon to give an answer of the faith and the hope that were in them. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what would be asked. They didn't know what was in store for them. They didn't know what to say. And in that those situations, they claimed this beautiful promise of the Lord and acted on it, and the Holy Spirit came through for them mightily. It's not too likely, I don't suppose, that we will face the pressure of persecution. But there are other kinds of situations in which the pressure is on, in which the need and the opportunity to proclaim Christ to somebody is very, very great. But it's come upon us unexpectedly. And we may not know what to say. The thoughts and the words may not be there. And it's under that kind of pressure when we are struck dumb and could not possibly have gotten ready for this, that we too can claim this promise of our Lord. And the promise again is so beautiful. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. It'll be given to you. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. Not only people in biblical times, but people today who in these pressure situations when they cannot and do not know what to say, claim the promise of the Holy Spirit. For them too, the Spirit comes through mightily, just as he did for these earlier followers of Jesus. You see, the Spirit's great concern is to present Jesus Christ and his saving love. Nothing is more important to him than to embrace you and me with that love, and with that saving love of Christ to cover in us everything that's wrong, including our laziness and unfaithfulness and anything else that gets in the way. The Spirit is the one who takes everything that Jesus did for us and applies it to our deepest needs. And he's determined that that saving love is going to extend out through us to others around us. God loves us more than we'll ever be able to realize. He loves us more than anyone else loves us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And he loves the other people of the world just as much as he loves us. And Christ died for those other people just as he died for us. And God, in the worst way, wants these other people, all of them, to have the benefit of the saving love of Jesus Christ. And in his kindness, in his grace, he reaches these other people through people like us, with our limitations, with our weakness, with our sins. Still, he uses us. And he gives us a lot of help to do this. He gives us his word, that living and powerful word. He gives us an understanding of that word and a certain amount of wisdom and experience and even education and training for the proclamation of Christ's saving love. And he presents us with opportunities. And in, for the most part, the opportunities that we have to proclaim Christ to others are opportunities that allow us to prepare very carefully and to do it very well with the resources that he has provided. But when the pressure is on and the need is great and we cannot and do not know what to say, then we can claim this beautiful promise. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. It'll be given to you. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. God rarely, if ever, does for us what we can do for ourselves. But when the time comes for us to bear witness to Christ and we cannot and do not know what to say, he will do for us beautifully and powerfully what we cannot do for ourselves. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.